cliffcentral.com.
Iscupu, Iscupu, yours ain't banging like mine. Yo, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Gigi LeMaine, and you're tuned into The Unplugged Radio Show on Thursdays right here on Cliff Central from 12 to 1 p.m., baby. Are you ready?
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Another one of those really, really, really great days. It is cliffcentral.com, and this is the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. Thank you so, so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Wizza. Wizza that guy. And I'm chilling with my main man, my main brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Simpiwe Petros.
What up, buddy?
I'm great, man. I'm feeling super, super, super fantastic. How you feel?
All good, buddy. You know me. You know me. Gotta stay positive in life, right?
Always, always, always. Yeah, always. Man. So, I mean, I'm feeling really great. Part of the reason I'm feeling great is because Twitter is lit right now. It's been lit for the last week.
Yeah, yeah. I see you, bro. I see
you. It's absolutely amazing,
man. I actually haven't been on Twitter.
You told me.
I'm like, yo, it's going down. And I see articles about you and all of that. I'm like, shout out to you, man. You know, shout out to you.
You know what they call me these days? It's so crazy.
What?
This is. Let me explain. So, these days.
No ways.
But in the babes wear voice.
Yo!
Listen, I would go. Glass in hand, pink martini. Sing a ting, sepicini. Mang tattoo peg, a pretty lady's toil of my bikini. Hi, man, where Sanchele, Labatuara, Sitzani. Fitting it, hey, love, how chele go to Timbani? Oh, babes wear voice. It is so crazy, dog.
That's crazy, bro. Yo.
It's going down, bro.
It's going down. It's a beautiful way to start off the year.
It's a beautiful way to start off the year. Obviously, we can't start the year alone. We have to start the year as a team.
Yeah.
And another team member is right here as well.
What's up, dog?
No, man. Everything's great on this side, man. How are you doing, bro?
I'm good.
I see you taking out. Lesejo bought the whole station ice cream, guys.
Dog.
He's on, and it's not just that cone. That's
McFlurry,
cone.
Like
McFlurry. You know,
because we must flourish, though. You know, like it's 2017 now.
Yeah.
When if we lay a cone, let you
I wish people could see what Lesejo's doing right now.
No, we're done. I'm sorry. It's late.
Yeah.
Things that will never bring 2017. Pilchards, 2 minute noodles. Ice cream on a cone.
Yes.
We must leave those things in 2016. Yo,
leave those things in 2016.
Nah, leave them there. We're not coming back with them.
Sabir, what are you leaving in 2016?
Oh, a whole lot of things, bro. Yeah. Like, it's not as lit as Lesejo. I think over the course of the show, I'm going to share some of the things I'm leaving behind.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I'm leaving a lot of things. One of the things is self-defeating thoughts.
Mm.
No time for self-defeating thoughts. I am who I say I am, and I will be who God says I will be.
Yeah.
And nothing less, bro.
Wow. No, that sounds pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
That sounds good. So what you're literally doing is you're just cutting out the wrong things in
life.
Cutting them out of your life.
Yeah, I think it's a season of pruning and perfecting, bro, so we can take things to the next level, bro, because 2017 is definitely harvest time because we've sown so many seeds, bro.
It's time to harvest.
It's time to reap the harvest, bro.
Yeah, actually.
Wow. No, that's very true,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, bro.
Actually, what we're talking about today is the 7 critical mindset shifts to achieve everything you want. Imagine you can wave a magic wand and everything you want can be yours. You can achieve everything.
Yeah.
How would your life look like?
It would change. I think it all starts with you at the end of the day and the choice. But definitely, guidance and a method is what is critically needed, because a lot of people don't know how to get there, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very important. That's where change occurs.
Yeah. So we're talking about these because they're actually quite important. This is actually part of an article that was written by Christina Bold. She's also a thought leader.
Yeah.
She writes these things. It's actually quite cool for me to see women who are thought leaders as well. So there's so many men who are out there being celebrated as thought leaders. You're not getting as many women come out as well. So it's actually quite a good thing for me to be able to, you know, have this to share. So she says, when you decide to embrace the profound life change, like a profound life change. It's scary sometimes, and especially because, I mean, change is scary. But the only way to successfully deal with change is to master it. And once you do, launching your life forward will eventually come easily and naturally. So, what is the first thing we can do to do this? The seven critical mindset shifts to achieve everything you want. Number one is take time to define your vision and your passion. Have you taken the time?
Yeah, bro. I think I'm still in that season where I'm defining where I want to be at the end of the year. One of the critical things for me is that I don't want to be able to recognize myself at the end of the year because I want to be on a whole new level, bro.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing for me. Growing myself and developing my brand. There are a couple of things that I want to jump on this year and do in a major way.
Yeah.
So we have to begin with an end in mind. I think it was Stephen Covey who said that, right? Begin with an end in mind.
Yeah.
Seven habits of highly effective people. Begin with an end in mind. That's where it all starts.
Yeah, very important. Well, she goes on here to mention that you need to get out there, discover yourself.
Yeah.
What you stand for, what you stand against. Then ask yourself what you want in life and where you find yourself. What gets you fired up in the mornings, you know? And there's something interesting. She says experience different things. Go and feel, touch, and see what you're passionate about. And that's actually quite interesting. That literally means that, for instance, if you want a luxurious life, try to, you know, just go to the dealership and just say, hey, can I view view that car?
Yeah.
And then sit inside the car, feel the leather, smell just smell that brand new leather smell. You know that brand new
that
leather
brand new car smell.
You know what I mean?
I know it, bro.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful
that's
thing.
The type. So what has been shared with me is that's the type of things you need to do. In fact, I did it the other day. I was coming back from Cape Town, and I decided, you know what, my car's at home. I just landed in I just landed in the airport, and I don't know how am I going to get around.
Yeah.
I obviously have to hire a car.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of hiring these i10s, I said this time, because I feel the way I feel and I want to keep on feeling like this for a long time, I just went there and I scrolled through their things, and I was like, there was a Beamer there in those higher ranks of Beamers, not just the those ones.
Yeah.
And then I said, I want that one. Inside of you, you sometimes are a little scared. You're like, whoa. Did I really just say that?
Yeah.
And you know what? Obviously, they're going to give it to you because, I mean, if you think you can pay for it, they'll give it to you. So, wow, they gave me the keys. Then they told me that it's brand new. No one had driven it before. Ooh. So it's got 0 miles. Literally, it had I think it had 1 kilometer on. It's probably just to drive from the entrance to wherever it's parking. Mm. So I was like, wow. So I'm getting to drive this for the first time.
Mm.
And I'm the first person to drive it. Oh my goodness. And I mean, obviously you have all these inner doubts.
Yeah.
But that's the very doubts that you're talking about. Those self-defeating
thoughts,
thoughts that you need to get rid of. And sometimes to get rid of it, you need to go and taste the things that intimidate you a little.
Yeah.
And just experience that and say, okay, cool.
So you got to view your victory to some degree. You need to know where you want to end up and experience your victory before you even get there. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
I think for me, one of the biggest things that I'm leaving behind in 2016 is not risking enough, you know? Mm. I took some major risks in 2016, but I never want to get to a stage where I regret not taking enough risks.
Mm.
You know, it's something that's very important. I think a lot of people don't take risks or don't challenge themselves to be better because they have a lot of fears. They might fear failure. They might fear what people are going to think of them. They might fear some sort of rejection. For me, I've realized that rejection is not a dead end, but rather a redirection. Like, and that's what we got to realize. I mean, we got to keep on moving forward and embrace each and every moment that we're in. That's one of the major things. And expression is the key. What you're describing there is really just truly express yourself in different ways, which is very powerful.
Yeah. Actually, something interesting. I was emceeing at a competition where these guys are pitching their different ideas, about their prototypes or their inventions. And at the end of the competition, obviously only one person is the overall winner, and then, you know, some are runners up and some don't even show up on that. But these were all such brilliant ideas. And the Minister of Science said, remember, guys, if you walk away here and you didn't win, just remember one thing. The judges are not your customers.
Mm, mm, mm. It's true.
And that's true.
Yeah.
And it happens so many times where, I mean, you say, for instance, you do something, you get rejected or it doesn't quite work out.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's nothing wrong with the machine. It's just that the audience was just not the type of audience that you're looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's sometimes the other thing as well.
Yeah.
So now talking about the next point, it requires someone who's been hustling. Listen, Homopunga.
You guys planned this, hey, with the bed music and all. You guys are like organized today. You're like, all right, cool. Now we're going to do this.
It has to be.
Talk to me.
So this one says, become clear and precise about what you want. You must have a clear vision and be very precise about what you want. For instance, let's say in the workplace, there's certain roles that you want. There's certain, you know, ladders you want to climb. And things don't always go the way because some people allow life to happen to them because they think that someone is going to wake up one day and think, I have this great idea. Lesego should be a manager.
Yeah.
Or does that work that way? Or do you say, I have a great idea. Make me manager.
Yeah, you know, there are passive people and there are active people.
Yeah.
I think if I were to like spitball a number, I'll say majority of people are passive people.
Yeah.
So it's people that sort of like work hard and wait for things to come to them. But if you work hard with a purpose and you know what you're doing, you're most likely to get there a lot quicker than the other guys. Because a lot of people work hard. Like I hate when people work hard and they're like you can work hard, work better than your manager, and then you ask them, okay, what is it? Do you want to be a manager? And they'll be like, I'll see, man. You know, if it's in the cars, then you know, then I'm cool. You know, but if it's not in the cars, then I'm also okay. You know, I'm also content. That is such bullshit.
People are scared of disappointment, bro.
People are scared of disappointment. Yeah. Like you must be able to say, and that's why a lot of people never want to say exactly what they want. Because if they say, I want to be manager this year, and it doesn't happen, then you know that you feel like a failure. And it's not true. But the thing is, people are very passive and people are very scared of what they want.
Mm. That's actually quite interesting because sometimes people are scared that you're gonna view them to be too ambitious, or you're gonna view them as self-centered if they tell you what they want.
Yeah.
And that's probably the thing to try and realize that it doesn't make you a self-centered person to say, guys, you know what, to share your dream, to share your vision, to share your goals.
Yeah.
It does not make you self-centered. But that means then you have to be, you know, you have to be able to take rejection on the chin like a man.
You need to take a lot of things on the chin like a man. There's actually a quote that says, and I'm trying to quote it exactly, but the guy was saying that people only critique the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people will always critique Messi. People will always critique Ronaldo. Mm. You know, people are, Ronaldo's like, he's arrogant, or Ronaldo, he's such a crybaby. Or people will always have, no matter, you can be the, and it's testament, you can be the best soccer player in the world, people will still critique you.
Yeah, they always try and find something wrong with you. Like, you can't be perfect in this world.
And the problem is that people always want to have like a squeaky clean image. And that's the problem, is that if you're going to be squeaky clean, then you haven't really done much. You haven't gotten your hands dirty. You haven't gotten in the mud.
You're trying to please people. That's one of the things I'm leaving behind in 2016. Pleasing people? Yeah, no, you can miss me with that. I'm pleasing myself this year.
You can please me with that. So now here's the thing. If you can take rejection so easily and you just go for what you want, are you just as strong in the shellaring game? When it comes to, there's a pretty girl. She is devastatingly beautiful. She is Miss Universe. And you think, I like that girl. Do you, are you, because you're so bold and I want to be a manager, do you go to her like, listen, I want to marry you?
All right.
So a couple of things, right? So girls have never really been a problem.
Voila.
They've never been a problem. All right. 99 problems.
All right.
They've never been.
Okay.
However, though, I think I'm at that level now. I'm literally at that level now, and I've seen myself do it where I can sit, see a flame of a chick and just be like, she's hot, and then look the other way. I'm at that level now.
It's maturity, bro.
Yeah,
it's maturity.
It's like, dude, there'll always be a hotter chick. Always. You can literally marry Miss Universe.
Eesh.
And then go on holiday, go like a Mozambique somewhere, and meet a girl hotter than your chick.
Eesh.
It happens.
It's painful, man.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and
you just gotta love yours, man. Just keep on focused on what's good for you. Like,
yeah, like you
if you're trying to find the hottest girl in the world, it's late for you, Baba.
It's late for you.
There's no fulfillment.
There's no such.
No such thing. It's true, man. No,
it is quite challenging. We got a couple of tweets coming in already. Michelle Expert saying dreams are generally scary, especially especially if it's too big. Like normally that's one of the feelings. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's a beautiful thing though. If your dreams aren't if your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough for me. Like that's the thing. I think you gotta realize that in life, that in order to we fear change rather than fearing our dreams. Our dreams push us beyond what we think we're capable of, and that's the most important thing, because when you push beyond what you're capable of, you become a different person.
And if you have Mickey Mouse dreams, there's a problem.
Yeah.
If you have tiny little Mickey Mouse dreams, you know, then you can't be really annoyed when somebody else achieves a really big dream, because that was never your dream, was never on that scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's important, man. Like, if people aren't laughing at your dream, then clearly we gotta review that dream and make sure that we get a bigger dream.
Yeah, no, that's actually something really, really important as well. Mm. So just checking out the next, first of all, what the lovely lady wrote here, we're still talking about Christina Bold. She says, people are usually vague about, you know, what they want precisely.
That's, yeah.
They have only a pale vision of what they want. Mm. So you need to try, stop and take a break from day-to-day race, and then take a notebook, choose a quiet place and time, write down what you want specifically, and what you want to achieve, and how you'll how you'll know when you achieved it. That's also important. Like if you just want to have a lot of money, what is a lot of money? How would you know that
it's enough,
I have arrived? I've arrived. And then, because only when you know you've arrived, you can say, pat on the back, Lesejo.
Yeah.
You did what you wanted to do. You know what I mean? So that's also quite important. She says, write down everything. Your brain will do what you want. Your brain will do what you want. But in order to get there, you need to be very specific about your mission.
Yeah.
So start writing your dreams in full detail. The detail is important.
Yeah.
So cool. So let's move on to point number three. It says, continually reinforce your motivation.
Okay.
Here she says, often you know precisely what you want, but after suffering the go get it wave for some time, you can start to lose momentum. That's when you slow down and you enter into a slump. Sometimes you need you need to reach outside for yourself to pull the best out. Ask yourself, who is impacted by my dream? Who stands to benefit from it? And sometimes those type of things can help you, you know, recycle your motivation. I think Eric Thomas who says, recycle your pain. Your why is going to push you. Let's say, for instance, your pain was seeing your mom walk to work and seeing the rain coming through the ceiling because you guys didn't have enough money for a proper house. Whatever that why was, the thing that the pain was for you growing up, whether it was financially, whether it was, you know, family-wise, whatever it was, but that pain, you need to recycle that pain and remind yourself why you're in this game and what will make it worth it for you. And that's actually quite important. Do you have anything to share on this?
So basically, I believe that if your vision isn't beyond impacting people around you, then it's not big enough. We really have to have bigger visions that are bigger than us, you know. It's not all about you, and that's what we got to realize, that life is not only about you and what you want to achieve, but what you can do to impact the lives of those around you and many more lives, because that's the power of vision.
I'm gonna go back to the whole clarity point that you read over. A lot of people aren't clear what they want. Literally, if you go to people and you say, okay, listen, where's that, what do you want, a lot of people will not be able to tell you. They'll tell you that, okay, I want like an X5 and I want like a large house and I want, okay, so in order to get that, what are you going to do? I want to start a business. Okay, what type of business? What are you going to do? They won't be able to tell you.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are not, you need to cross the T's and dot the I's. You need to really know exactly. And once you know it to that level, once you know it to that detail, it means that you'll be able to know what are you doing every single day. So when you wake up tomorrow, what are you working on? Because you know the finer details and you know what needs to happen to get started. I'm going to go to CIPC. I need to go to SARS, get my test clearance. I need to do A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
When you're doing your research, you know exactly which videos you're watching because you know exactly where you want to go.
So you're saying that often at times people don't know what they want and they're not very clear. And when you ask them, what do you want? Does it sound like this?
Stop thinking about what I want, what he wants, what your parents want. What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want?
I want to die.
All right,
that was a bit soft, but I mean, what was basically happening there is like, what do you want? Like, I don't know. What do you want? It's not that simple. What do you want? It's complicated.
What do you want?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know what they want.
Yeah. That's a challenge, right?
It's a real deal, man. We got to be very clear and specific on what we want. Yeah, man, it's cool. A real thing.
I remember someone once saying to me that, you know, when you envision something, you need to have the detail, all the detail actually also put out in your mind. For instance, when I talk about the detail is, let's say you're envisioning yourself with a really nice house. You need to imagine, what type of desk would you be sitting on? Do you have a study in the house? How's the view looking like?
Yeah.
Do you put your hands on that table? Feel, if it's a glass table, feel the cold of that glass table as you put your hands on it. Smell the leather. Is your chair made of the most expensive leather out there? Good quality stuff. How do you feel about achieving this that you now have? These are some of the things that he would say, you know, you need to kind of go through mentally while you are, you know what, creating that visual mindset for yourself as to how your future one day is going to look like. We've just been joined by Von the Poet, Von the Everything.
What's poppin', man? And if you envision of having a fat ass, smack it.
Oh shit, okay. What in the world?
I just had to throw that in there. What's poppin', man? What's poppin', man?
All right, thank you very much, Von. Welcome.
thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, Von. Yeah, Von, sometimes, guys, you know what, he's more than just the white guy in the group. He's also that other, you know, that other person. Like I was in Suits and Sneakers yesterday.
Yeah,
they were saying that they will have this conference where, let's say, for instance, in one department it's finance, then it's entrepreneurship, it's accounting, it is people want to talk about leadership, and then one column would be other. I think Von fits in that other.
Yeah, I'm the other guy.
But you have a brother, right?
Yeah.
Brother anything like you?
I think we share similar humor, and a lot of our opinions are similar, but as a personality, he's different. Yeah, he's a lot more reserved.
So even at the family family dinners, like your mom is like, Von, don't say anything, please.
at the family things, it gets interesting. Like, I'm always the guy who starts like arguments and stuff. Ooh. Because I always have opinions that are not like, you know, favorable all the time. So my brother's a mediator. He'll be like, Mom, what Von's trying to say is this.
What's your brother's name?
Jade.
Jade. Jade, you are the future, man.
Yeah, the voice of reason.
Jade's fire, straight up. But when you get to know him, you will see that, hey, this is Vaughn's brother, though.
Yeah. Oh, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Vaughn is that guy that, you know what, you want to introduce to your, if you're a girl, you want to introduce him to your parents because it's the right thing to do. But as soon as the introduction's done, you're like, let's go. Before he says anything.
I feel you.
Vaughn is like, uncle, your daughter's got a fat ass.
That's my fat ass. Thank you for raising such a fat ass.
Straight
up. I'm playing, man. Yeah, but something like it.
Okay, cool.
It really is something like that. That's a crazy thing.
Move on, my daughter. All right, so we're still talking here about a couple of things. We actually going through a couple of bullet points saying, what are some of the things that you need to shift your mindset? We're calling this seven crucial mindset shifts to achieve everything you want. Cool, so now we're at number three. And Von, you kind of joined us just on time because the fourth one says, make a plan for achieving your dream and set a start date. And in fact, sometimes set an end date. How does it look like at the end of it all?
Yeah.
Mm. And let's say, for instance, do any of you? I know I have, for instance, a plan. I decided, you know what? I want a nice house, and I said I want a house that is this big, and I want a house that is this much money.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, let me not just do that. Let me say in the next 3 years, I want that house. Mm. But then I said, okay, what do I need to achieve to get that house? And I calculated how much it would be, because at the end of the 3 years, I need to put down a certain deposit for that house. And I said, okay, I'm going to need more than 500,000. how am I going to get that money? And how after how long should I have that money? So I said, okay, if I need to do this in the next 3 years, that means I need to have X amount per month saved up just for that. So that means I need to make this certain amount, 5 digits or whatever, but this is not what I'm eating. This is what I'm putting aside for that dream. Mm. And then 3 years from now, if I invite you guys to a housewarming, just know that I was disciplined, not for just, you know, the year and then I bought a house at the end of the year, but it was actually a discipline that lasted 3 whole years to save up properly and never to let anything come up that is bigger than the savings. Mm. So that's, for instance, one of my dreams or one of my goals.
When did you start that one?
I actually started it last year, close to the end of the year. I said to myself...
So you're a couple of months in.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a couple of months in. And I try to make sure that it happens properly. So I called up my financial advisor and I said, you take this money and you invest it in whatever. Let's find things. You take it every month. And you don't stop. And they even showed me after how long I would achieve it, because they have their rubrics and they'll tell you after compounding, this is how it's going to go. So you can kind of see that this is tangible. In fact, it's going to be a little bit more than what you thought you were going to get because of compounding and so on, which is great, which means that you can either choose to save a little less than what you had planned to save per month and still achieve it. Or in fact, save a little more so that you have money for all the other peripheral expenses that come with buying a house.
Yeah.
So that was, for instance, one of my goals, to say, I want that type of house. It's scary right now, but in 3 years' time, I'll just boldly walk in and be able to sign that contract because I've been disciplined for the last 3 years.
That's good, man.
That's some powerful stuff, man. That's a real thing. And a lot of people lack discipline. You might have vision and you might know where you want to go, but it's a everyday thing, and consistency is the only currency that counts. Like, no matter what, you might want to have like an 8-pack by the end of the year, but what are you eating? And how often do you go to gym? Tell me, when you had that McDonald's, what were you thinking? Like, did you think about those calories? Did you count the cost? Like, you gotta realize that.
When Lesego brought us the McFlurries.
Dog, I didn't have no McFlurry. Lesego was like, no, have McFlurry, I'm feeding. I'm like, no, dog, I'm good.
Yeah, it's actually quite important. So what the lovely lady wrote about this was, how will you get to your dream? What is the complete skills, or let me say the skill sets that you need to compete against people who are also going after the same thing? What new knowledge do you need to acquire? One of the simplest ways to create a roadmap for your journey towards your dream is to model the actions of the people who already succeeded in what you wish to achieve. So sometimes find those people, interview them if you can, read up about their journals. For instance, I remember we had a certain gentleman, Ziad, a couple of moons ago. We had him here, and he said that, you know, he didn't have access to the billionaires. He only met one billionaire, but he wanted to meet more, but he didn't have access to them. So what is the next best thing? To buy their autobiographies, or even just Google them and read up so much about them, find out about their lives, how they think, how they operated, even the smaller little details about how they woke up and what are some of the things that they used to do. And then you model those people, and lo and behold, today Ziad has, you know, quite a lovely business, a lucrative business somewhere in Melrose Arc. He's doing pretty well. Yeah. And that's actually also quite important, to just find those people and model them. So that was point number four. Point number four says, make a plan for achieving your dreams and set a start date. Sometimes that's also another thing. People never quite start. Some people plan this thing out so much in detail, but they never get started.
There's no better time than now.
Because you spend so much time planning it, you never actually do it.
And yesterday when I was at this conference, the guy was saying that, you know what, sometimes you need to launch before you're ready, because This thing of trying to be absolutely 100% ready, you learn in the process. For instance, you just started your business not too long ago. Were you guys ready when you guys said, hey, we're now starting this thing, we're gonna make money like this?
Nah, not at all, bro. It's like you're ready. I think the part where you need to be ready, what you need to be ready for 100% before you do anything, is just to be ready to commit to it. Like, that's the only thing you really need to be ready for. Like, to say that, okay, I'm gonna do this no matter what, it's gonna going to take. Yeah. I'm going to figure it out. When it gets tough, I'm still going to try and figure it out. That's the part you have to be ready for in your mind.
Yeah.
The actual business side of things, the minute you start doing things, you figure it out as you go. You know, you'll make a few mistakes. You'll make a few good decisions. You'll speak to a few people. And then you'll see, like, day to day, things just make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
I think still, even today, man, I'm still learning about all this stuff. You don't open a business and then 4 months later, 5-6 months later, you're a mogul. It takes time to, like, figure things out, you know.
That's very true, yes.
Yeah, the best guys in the world take 5-10 years to become to get to where they're at. I was actually talking about planning and stuff. I was reading an interesting article on entrepreneurs and when most of them actually kicked on into their real success was as late in their 30s. Yeah, a lot of guys, I mean, obviously not the boy geniuses, like you're looking at, not Zuckerbergs and Elon Musks and them, but guys, but I mean, even if you go into that category, you'll find there's a lot of the very wealthy people in the world also only really figured out, or I'll say figured out, or they became masters into their 30s, and from their 30s to till today, obviously they've made so much.
Yeah, and
so
I want to challenge that and say it might not sometimes be so much the age, but it is the amount of time they've been playing in the field.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they started young, but they figured it out.
Yes,
later, you know?
And when you ask them, so what could you have done differently? Some of them would say, I wish I'd started even younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he said that. Warren Buffett said that. Warren Buffett says that he wished he started investing. I think he started his first investment at like 14 or 15, and he says he felt like he started too late. But like,
but
you know what I mean? You're right though. It's just about, you see, the more, it's like the law of averages, I guess, to some degree. It's like the more you're trying, the higher chance you have of making it in something.
That's true.
It's playing the field.
Yeah, the instance, field. Talking about playing the field, you can compare it to, I think I've made this comparison before, but imagine it is a soccer field, right? You wish that obviously you were a great player, but at the moment you want to do the soccer thing, but you also want to do this being an engineer thing. I'll just make that an example. So you have one foot in the soccer field and one foot outside the soccer field. What happens? You never quite get many chances to play the ball because there's not a lot of times where the ball is on the sidelines and especially there where you're standing. And there's also not a lot of times where we have you probably only involved during throw-ins. That's pretty much what you do. Throw-ins and corners. That's all you do. But 98% of the game is played in the center, right? Or at least on the one side or the other, but more or less in the middle of the pitch. So what you have to do sometimes is decide what game you want to play. Then put both feet in that game because now you can be everywhere all at the same everywhere. And when you're inside the field, you'll get the ball more times. You'll get passed a whole lot more times when you're inside the field. And the longer you play, the more chances are going to be created. And guess what? The more times you're going to get a chance to actually score. And sometimes you even do. And I can kind of equate that to my career and saying, you know, there was a time I was a student plus this voice thing and it wasn't, I wasn't quite there yet, but you know, it was somewhere getting there, but it wasn't quite the same as when I fully said, you know what, both feet in this pot now, let's see what's going to happen. And all of a sudden you score a couple of big goals and you think, would I ever have scored those goals if I was kicking only corners the whole time?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the thing. You meet so many people that are saying, man, I would really love to do this thing that you do, but they kind of want to do it. They don't really want to do it. And that's sometimes the challenge. Simpio, you had something.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is you need to focus your fight. You can't pick to fight every battle that you're faced with. Pick the battles that are most critical right now, attack them, conquer them, and then get on to the next battle. I think the most important thing is your commitment. You can't commit yourself to everything. You have to commit yourself to what you want the most. And at the end of the day, when you focus on what you want the most, you will achieve what you want the most.
Yeah, that was that be ready thing I was saying.
Yeah.
The only thing you need to do is be ready to just make that decision.
Yeah.
Like, so if you choose to, like, say, you know, screw this one or do screw that one,
it's okay.
It's cool, man. You'll figure it out. Like,
yeah, just got to choose, you know?
Exactly. And another thing is, you know, it's also, I've read a lot of things lately on entrepreneurship and stuff, obviously because I'm in the space and whatever, but a lot of things I realized too is that there isn't really 100% blueprint to how
there's
guys,
no formula
how these guys did it. Yeah, some guys did it extraordinarily well in terms of they've planned it out to the T, you know, and that's how their brain functions, and that's how their life adapts to the method they think in.
Yeah.
Then there's other dudes who have just been like off the cuff type of spontaneous entrepreneurs that identified an opportunity, jumped on it, took it, and then kind of just rolled with the punches and figured it out. And 5-6 years later, they've got some sort of an empire going.
And then there's those guys that failed their way to success.
There's actually more of those in this book that I read than anything else.
Yeah.
There's dudes that literally tried 6 or 7 different things.
Yeah.
Like some guys lost almost everything putting it into, and then the one thing worked. The one thing, the last thing, or the middle one that they tried that they weren't actually sure of ended up becoming
the major
thing that worked. And now they're out here like, yeah, we're geniuses. But in fact, they're just dudes that tried real hard for real long, you know?
Yeah.
And they made it work.
Sure. I mean, if it makes me think of Lil Wayne with Amelie. You remember that he released a lot of songs in that album.
Yeah.
And then he said, what do we do with this beat? Okay, let's just like do like a bonus track, like just put it out there. Became the biggest song out of all.
Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes that actually does happen. We got a lot of love coming in from Twitter. Michelle Expert, I hope I'm saying it right. She says, she says a couple of things. I'm going to try and say it all as if it was one paragraph. She says, "What gets measured gets done. It's true. It's truly important to clearly define your goal and write them down." And she says the worst thing is to have sight but no vision. And that's also that's actually quite a powerful statement.
Yeah.
I think every single millennial should be listening to Unplugged Radio. Great stuff. Such a great movement to learn from. Thank you very much. Then she says, "I've scheduled an hour for my day every Thursday to listen to Unplugged and In Charge." Thank you. That is cool.
That's
cool.
Stuff.
Extremely amazing and really informative. Lastly, she says, "I'm a planner by nature, and I generally took too much time than needed to launch an idea, and I've regretted it." So it goes back to the whole thing of leap, and then the net will appear.
Or just jump, you know? And learn how to fly while you're falling. Like that's
right.
A lot of the time, that ends up happening. Man.
Dog.
And also, it's interesting. One thing that I think I also, as an entrepreneur, right? I think every business venture hasn't always been built of pure passion as well.
Yeah,
I've learned this too, and I'll tell you why I say this, because everyone as a human being, we all can sit in a room and we can all have a ideal state that we'd like to live in, an ideal job, an ideal career. With ideal money and reward.
Yeah.
Okay? We have that ideal, that idea of what it is. Okay. A lot of the time, that idea is what you work to ultimately. But what I've noticed is that there are a lot of entrepreneurs that identify that space they would like to operate in. They might start that space and let it run, but maybe that one takes a lot longer to do.
Mm.
The process of getting to that space is a little bit more tedious, a little bit more time consuming, a little bit more of a process that you have to go through. But what they do then as well to supplement their main ideal goal is they start immediate businesses which could bring in immediate funds.
Yeah.
And sometimes they run these 1 or 2 smaller businesses, in inverted commas, sometimes they're not so small, just to fund or to make the capital needed to start this bigger idea. So a lot of these guys, not a lot of these guys. I mean, I do it myself. There's a couple of people that do it, but I read about it. It was an interesting perspective that someone had on it. It just said that, you know, not all business is built of passion. Some businesses are built off of the need to
feed your passion,
to feed what your passion is, or to feed what your ideal state is. So it's interesting though, because that's another thing you need to be ready for.
Yeah.
Because if you know. Running a business without the absolute love for it becomes a very challenging thing, you know, because of the small unnecessary things you need to deal with within that business. Because remember, a small business to you, and you're not something that's not necessarily your main passion. The clients, they don't give a damn about that. Mm. You know, they want the service that you provide.
Yeah.
So you need to be willing to put that aside and work on it so that you can feed and fuel this ideal state that you
I think
like
that
to reach.
Also develops your character at the same time, because character is everything, and that's what sustains you. Doing what you don't like really develops excellence within you, which is very critical.
It's important, man.
Yeah.
A question.
Yeah.
What do you think Steve Jobs' passion was?
Steve Jobs' passion was people.
Yeah, adding value to people.
Yeah, it's value, adding value to people, yeah.
And that made all his businesses come to life. And I think that's actually sometimes important to have a greater purpose, you know, a greater purpose.
Yeah.
Because that greater purpose means that you can almost find any type of, you know, any type of company and still make it work as long as it fulfills that greater purpose.
Yeah.
For instance, his was adding value to people, but like he wants to go global with that, not just adding value to just my family, global value. Yeah. And then he said, all right, Apple, but it must be on another level of adding value. So it became on that level that, you know, that it was. And then once he got chucked out of that, he said, you know what? Pixar. And Pixar, Finding Nemo was Pixar.
Toy Story.
Buzz Lightyear, Toy Story. Well, that is all best, Pixar. Yeah. And that did add value because, I mean, cartoons, Mickey Mouse versus Buzz Lightyear, guys, levels.
Yeah.
I just feel like, and it worked for him, and it became a multi-billion dollar company. And then, I mean, eventually, you know, Apple wanted him back and he made that even bigger and so on. But that's amazing for me that, you know, if you really want to be a significant person, you need to have this type of greater purpose, and then that will actually make everything just work.
That's what I was saying. Like, there's this thing that I do every year. I try to conceptualize the kind of person, the kind of thing I would like, a conceptual goal for the year.
Yeah.
You know, like last year I said, I want to be a better entrepreneur. I want to be the year of entrepreneurship.
Mm.
You know, and then every year I kind of like do that. So similar thing in like how I see my life. I have this idea of the person I want to be and what that person and what I want to and I have the idea of the person I want to be, the man I want to be, I have this concept, and that concept is what I would want to be paid for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's what I want to make my living off of. So I do these things and I do all these various things because I believe they're going to build this part of me that I'm looking to get to.
Yeah.
And I believe that once I do these different things and these different businesses that I'm doing, I'll get to that part, and when I'm in that space, That's when this idea of I've figured it out comes along, because you then exist in that space and exist in that realm that you've envisioned and that you've built towards. And then from there, you know now how to move to get that income, or you know how to make that link.
And yeah, you're quite right. And that's why people who are multimillionaires and lose it at some point make it so much quicker. Because
they figured out
their formula that works for them.
Because the making money parts, once you in that space you've envisioned, I imagine, is the easiest part.
Mm.
The hardest part is to get to the space where you're this person that you've envisioned, right? So that's what I picked up from these dudes, because these dudes like lost and made and lost and failed, like countless times they failed, bro, countless, like you can't even imagine. But they knew that they're gonna get to that space where they're good businessmen, and when they're good businessmen, it's easier.
So basically, you're saying identity is everything. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you want to be, because in that is everything that you want to achieve.
That's the happiness. I think. You know, like if you kind of like figure yourself out to a degree and figure like the kind of personality you are, and you never want to sacrifice that character and personality that you own.
Yeah.
You kind of, that's where you should build off your career from.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time we kind of put ourselves in a space which is not necessarily our natural love, like being.
Yeah,
our,
we compromise too much.
We compromise a lot of who we are in terms of our happiness, you know. Yeah. Some people are happy to do it, some people are not.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if you're not happy doing it, you got to have a look at your situation, but try and figure out what parts of you are not making you happy about what you're doing, and then figure out how to please those parts of you.
Exactly.
And if there's a space you can start existing in, you know, with those characteristics filled, You'll see that there's careers in that, you know. There's different ways people can.
Oh, you'll create the career, bro. That's the biggest thing. You know, we don't need to conform to the system. Mm. We create our own system that works for us.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's the major key, I think, when it comes to being a young person. Like, do it for yours. Do it that suits you, man.
Be you.
Lesego, you had a lot of moments. Tell me about what's going on.
I think, like Simpio said, no, like Vaughn said, there's actually no formula to entrepreneurship. There are a couple of golden threads, definitely.
Guidelines.
Guidelines and stuff. But essentially, and this is why you were talking about suits and sneakers. I went to the suits and sneakers last year.
Yeah.
When I was at the convention center. And out of the four speakers that spoke, I only really related to one of them. And the others, I was literally like, okay, had I not listened to these guys today, I wouldn't have gained or lost anything.
Who was the guy you liked?
Kayat Lang.
Ah, he's dope.
Yeah. So for me, I think what's very important is everybody will always have something to say, right?
Yeah.
Everybody will always have something to say. But you need to understand what resonates with you the most. So some people might relate with Vaughn more than they relate with me, for example.
And they need to obviously heed to what Savon is saying, where he's going. Because if you don't know who you are and you're just listening to everyone speak, you're going to get pulled in different directions.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to what we were saying in the beginning. You need to have a focus.
Yeah.
Like, pick your battles, Sway. Mm. You can't fight all the battles.
Yeah.
You can't be a banker and an actor and an astronaut and a CA and a medical doctor. And you know what I mean? You're gonna be very mediocre in everything.
Exactly.
If you're going to do that, because you're going to spread yourself thin. So rather know what you really, truly want to do and focus there. Could you imagine studying CAs, engineering, being a doctor, being a lawyer? Fair.
There are people who do that. Well, on the one hand, I want to say my personal belief is that, you know, always dream a new dream. It's okay to say, you know what? I have a couple of things that I really love. Maybe you can pick them and say, apparently it takes 5 years to achieve mastery in something. So in this 5 years, I'm going to be a master of this.
So you're then, focusing your fight, right?
And then boom, you become great at that. And then you say, now I want to reinvigorate my life, start all over again and be a master at that.
So you're going
to
reinvent yourself.
You're focusing. That's powerful.
Yeah. That's different to what Lizzie, I think
because you can't do it all at once. You're right. You can't do it all at once.
So it's just like Kanye. Let's look at Kanye. Kanye won, 18 Grammys? And then he 15 became one of the best designers in the world, one of the most iconic shoes in the world. But how much focus does he have to do that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And next he wants to do furniture.
And then he wants to be president.
Then he wants to be president.
Straight up. So guys, just to touch on the last few this before we head out. The one is saying embrace discipline. If you want to master something, you have to work consistently and be disciplined at it. That includes one, consistently setting and following the daily habits we need to reach our goals. And two, being keenly aware of distractions. She goes on to say... discipline means developing a distraction alarm. That's actually interesting. If you realize, I'm being distracted here. Listen, you're distracting me from my main thing. Please, wait a minute. Let me finish this thing. I'll come back to you. Mm. It's quite important. I think we've already touched on discipline quite a lot.
Yeah.
So the seventh point says, decide each day to take 3 small steps towards your dream by consistently making what seem like small actions. You plant seeds of achievement into your conscience. You start feeling the progress you're making, and in time these feelings grow into belief and then into an attitude. Before you know it, you'll be flying towards your dream. Interesting.
Dope stuff.
So that right there was the 7 crucial mindset shifts to achieve everything you want. It's actually pretty, pretty impressive stuff. Thank you very much once again for being part of this lovely conversation. I always call it the shortest hour in the week. Gentlemen, any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think for me, just young people that are looking to do things, man, like one of the most important things is to make the right circle, like get the right people around you, especially the people you want to work with, because those are people that play very important roles in your life, because business gets complicated and you need strong characters. The second thing is to not overthink things and to not succumb to the doubt that exists in entrepreneurship, because doubt always exists because we are human beings. You know, without doubt we can't actually have faith. So you got to make sure that you kind of don't succumb to the doubt, and take the chance to kind of just try it, man. There's no real failure if you're trying.
Exactly. For me, the biggest thing is don't be afraid to hit rock bottom, because once you hit rock bottom, you can only go up. And once you go up, you'll never stop.
Great stuff. Lesego.
Be great. Done.
Just like that. Well, thank you very much again. It's been the shortest hour of the week. We're back again next Thursday, every single Thursday. In fact, if you're listening to the podcast, just scroll up, Baba. Thank you very much once again. This is Unplugged and In Charge, and we do this every single time. Now, Von is a poet, and we still have one of his poems, so listen to this.
I feel like I've been keeping this poetry in for way too long, man. Way too long. So let me express. What if we could have achieved things, if only we asked? Like if I took the chance, could I be the rapper? If I rolled in a panda, would I have broads in Atlanta? If I did comedy, would they stand up? Or would they shoot me if I put my hands up? You see, maybe my white life matters, but my black soul doesn't. Cause I've seen them line up at Starbucks in their dozens. And I quote, "We'll never line up outside the polls to vote." The same people turn around and talk to me about the country like they just can't cope. Man, I'm losing hope. Everything's so twisted. Can someone explain to me? Why do good people keep getting screwed by life like you swear it believes in monogamy? Because when I close my eyes and look into my mind's astrology, they tell me we're free. But how are we free when every month we work to pay the landlord? And how are we free when half the country's screaming, "Where's the landlord?" Maybe everything that's normal needs to be redefined. Like, why do we have to have strong backs? Can't we have flexible spines? You see, the questions unanswered are the ones that I pursue. And I don't do it for me, and I don't do it for you. I do it for the author that's inside my head that writes my story in lead. Because it seems to always erase the memory of when it was myself that I first met. But you can chill, bro. I know that I sound cynical. But all I'm really trying to say is that if growth is necessary, then change is critical. A man once told me that change is our only constant. He said it so sharply, he cut skin deep, he was so clinical. But it made me think that if change is our only constant, then why do we still live by the same principles? I heard that time is the only thing that's actually ours. So I've been spending my minutes counting the hours just to find a second to breathe, to release me from the tension of my own dreams. Cause I've been going through a lot lately, and things have been tough. But I've got the whole squad with me, and I know they're gonna hold me down when there's not enough heart in me. But pardon me, let me take you back to the beginning. She left me. She said I'm way too busy. And now I'm left picking up the pieces to these emotion pictures to create my own Walt Disney. For the poet. CliffCentral.com.